Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Kate Ray on Blue, and Dr. Kate, a few minutes ago, you were talking about exercise and how that makes can make a big difference to increasing the neurotransmitters in the brain and how we can, it helps with memory. Mm-hmm. You talked about healthy oils and their function on the brain. What about some of the herbs? So I've heard about ginkgo and perhaps some of the other, some other herbs, lion's mane. What's the research showing on those?
Yeah, there has been a lot of research about ginkgo. We haven't heard about it in a while. How ginkgo works is that it helps improve the microcirculation. And so, of course, if you're if you're optimizing microcirculation and you're providing more circulation and that provides more nourishment to the brain cells, and for that reason, it's been thought to be helpful for cognitive health. And it's certainly one that many people have taken for that reason. And there has been some studies to suggest that perhaps it has improvements in memory. In terms of herbs, one that is gaining a lot of scientific attention recently for cognitive function is curcumin. And that, for a number of reasons, curcumin has at least 10 different neuroprotective actions. Seems to be good for the brain in at least 10 different ways. It's a great antioxidant, and as mentioned before, that's important for our brain health. It's something that has been shown to help reduce beta amyloid. Now, this is one of these abnormal brain protein deposits that we see in Alzheimer's disease. We see an accumulation of these abnormal, what are called plaques and tangles. Those are two different types of brain protein deposits. And curcumin has been shown to help reverse that. And there has other ways that it helps our cognitive function.
Is there any relationship, Dr. Kate, between obesity, diabetes, and dementia?
Oh, definitely. High blood sugar is the number one risk factor for developing dementia, specifically Alzheimer's disease. So we do know, for example, that people with uncontrolled diabetes have the highest risk for developing dementia. But even if you don't, now you can have diabetes and control it, and that's fine. You can keep your blood sugar down. But even amongst non-diabetics, those people who have higher blood sugar tend to have more dementia, and they're at higher risk for dementia. So keeping your blood sugar down is a really important way to help your brain and prevent dementia.
What are some of the ways that people can do that?
Well, avoiding the obvious, you know, foods that elevate your blood sugar, you know, the white foods, the white flour, the white sugar, the highly processed foods, those things make your blood sugar go up, and then once it drops, then you crave having more of those foods again. So avoid those and stick with whole protein, healthy fats that are nice, they're satisfying, as well as lots of fiber from fruits and vegetables, for example. And those kinds of things make you feel full, but keep your blood sugar stable and healthy.
Now, sometimes I hear about people in their middle ages having memory problems. What would be the causes of something like that?
Well, it depends. There can be lots of reasons for that. Now, if it's just a kind of thing where you've, say, walked into the kitchen and forget why you walked in there, well, that happens to everybody. It's just the way the brain works, that literally when you walk through a doorway, it causes you to forget things, which is why sometimes you have to go back to where you started to remember why you went through there. But you may be noticing that more often middle age and starting to think it has to do with your brain function, which it really doesn't. It could be as well that people are busier. You know, we're multitasking. We seem to lead busier lives, and between the email and the phone and everything that's going off, it can be very distracting. There are other things that can affect memory. For example, vitamin B12 deficiency. Even low normal levels, so not something that would be come up as an alert on a blood test, but within the normal range at the very bottom end, low B12 levels, one of the first symptoms of that is forgetfulness. And for some individuals who have that, supplementing with B12 can make a huge difference in their memory. So there's lots of different reasons why you can have memory problems, but if you think that they're significant, then for sure you should go get it checked out.
What about adrenal dysfunction? Is that, can that cause, stress? Can that cause brain problems?
Oh, yes, definitely. Stress, the stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, actually cause a shrinking of the brain cells, especially in the memory centers. So people may feel forgetful, for example, and that can be part of a stress response, either an acute, if you've been through a short, temporary, highly stressful event, or just chronic stress that's catching up to you. That can affect the way that you think and feel, and memory, for example, can be part of that.
Mm. What do you recommend for people to do for in those cases?
Well, if you think that your forgetfulness is coming from stress, of course, you have to stop and back up and look at your lifestyle and maybe where that stress is coming from. There are a lot of natural ways to help deal with stress, including, of course, you know, breathing, meditation, exercises, you know, taking stress management seriously. But then there's also lots of wonderful herbs, for example, called adaptogen herbs. And these are botanical medicines that help us cope with or stress, and they help our adrenal glands, either directly or indirectly, function better and do their job better in the face of stress. So many people find if they've been under stress, taking adaptogen herbs will help their emotional and physical well-being.
At what point is it normal for the brain to, you know, just become tired and start, you know, start having some dementia issues? Or should we be expecting to keep our brain healthy till the day we die?
Well, that's a really good question, Dave, because you know what? We're living longer than ever before. And so in some senses, to have so many people living longer, it's a little bit unprecedented. We do know that there are people who, you know, live very long lives with very healthy cognitive function and healthy brains. And there's always going to be a genetic component to that. And yet we also see populations of people, for example, like in Okinawa in Japan, where people are living long and staying quite mentally fit and focused compared to North Americans. So I think, to a certain extent, I think that we may automatically assume, well, as you get older, you're just going to lose your mental sharpness, for example. And I don't think we should take that for granted or necessarily say that those changes are going to happen. But we need to pay some attention to our brain with the kind of things that we've been talking about today, keeping blood sugar down, keeping antioxidants up, feeding your brain with healthy fats, for example. And those things can make a difference in our brain function over time.
When do we start really developing our brain? Or when should we be starting to protect our brain?
It's never too soon. You know, the brain is a use it or lose it kind of thing, as we've heard. So keeping mentally stimulated and mentally active and challenging your brain is something that has almost immediate benefits. And so anytime you want your brain to work better, then you can start taking care of it.
Sometimes I hear about kids that are having focus issues, which in a sense strikes me as, you know, a brain issue that's not too different than somebody that has some dementia.
Yeah, it is affecting different areas of the brain, which is why it manifests a bit differently. But we do know that what's helpful for the brain in one area is frequently helpful for the brain in another area. So healthy fats are helpful for all aspects of brain health, for example. And depending on what the specific issue is with attention, there may be other techniques or nutrients or medications even that can be applicable. But in general, as I was saying before, you know, what's good for one aspect of brain health is generally good for our brain in general.
What about hormones? Do they have an effect on the brain?
They do, absolutely. When our, at puberty, when the hormones start to kick in, it can change the way the brain works and functions. And then again, throughout life, as hormone levels change, it can change our focus and ability to concentrate. So certainly if somebody is having changes in their cognitive function associated, for example, with menopause or as they're getting older, it is worthwhile checking out whether hormonal influences are at play.
So if you had a parent, Dr. Kate, that was starting to age as parents do, and they were starting to experience some of these things like, you know, forgetting where they're driving to or forgetting where they put the keys, what would you do to really to help stimulate the brain function?
Well, I'd make sure that we're going for lots of walks and being physically active, hopefully together. Being sociable is also helpful. So people, as they get older, may become more isolated, and that's not good for the brain function. So being physically active, making sure that me or my loved one is keeping the brain active by challenging it in different ways. If driving seems to be becoming hazardous, then that definitely needs to be assessed and addressed very quickly, as well as looking at healthy fat intake from especially the omega-3s from fish oil, so a good quality fish oil supplement, looking for where there may be other nutrient deficiencies that can affect brain function, such as vitamin B12, like we were talking about before. But if there's nothing specific to be identified, then thinking about things like curcumin, as well as a low glycemic index diet or a diet that helps to lower and stabilize blood sugar levels, because that's very important to keeping the brain healthy.
As people age, they seem to complain that they don't sleep as long. Is there a relationship between lack of sleep and brain function? And is there anything that can be done about it?
There is. As people age, we tend to produce less melatonin, and that can be one factor in why people aren't sleeping as well. And you're right, sleep can be very important to how we think and function the next day. And chronic sleep deprivation can make a big impact on our mood as well as our cognitive function. So assessing sleep problems and making sure you're getting a good night's sleep is important.
Dr. Kay, we only have a few minutes left, and I'm wondering if you could maybe sum up what we've been talking about and give people some places where they can get more information.
Sure. I think that an important thing to remember is that the brain, like any other organ, is one that we can take care of. We've heard a lot in the past decades about heart health and how to manage that and even keeping our weight healthy and healthy diet, but we don't hear so much about brain health and keeping our brain healthy. And so there are things, very simple steps that people can take to improve their own cognitive function, prevent dementia, and even help your brain better work better today. So things like keeping your brain active, physical exercise, a healthy diet that keeps blood sugar down and antioxidants up from lots of colorful fruits and vegetables and herbs and spices, as well as looking at, where appropriate, omega-3 essential fatty acids from fish oil, for example, and other herbs like curcumin and even B12. For people who are looking for more information about this, they can check out my website at www.drkatend.com if they have a specific question. Or for more detail about some of the things we spoke about today, like the herring gold from herring fish eggs, they can go to www.naturalfactors.com.
Dr. Kate, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been fascinating as usual.
You're welcome, Dave. Thanks.
For those of you that missed that website, it was Dr. Kate ND, Norman D, or naturopathic doctor.com. And thanks for listening. It's great having you on the show. And thanks to Reg Fair, our producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Have a great, healthy week, and check in next week for more of the Health First Show.